Take your Bible real quickly and just turn to the book of Esther. And let me just give you a quick thought. It goes along with what I had mentioned a little bit earlier. Esther. Of course, you know the story of Esther, young, probably teenage gal, carried off into captivity. She's become the queen. A decree has been passed that basically was going to allow the destruction of the children of Israel that were in that area. She had a cousin by the name of Mordecai that was sending a message to her into the palace, urging her to go in and talk to the king on behalf of all the children of Israel. Start at verse 11. I'll go back 10. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether a man or woman, shall come into the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. We're in chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live, but have not been called to come in unto the king these days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. In other words, Esther sends back word back to Mordecai that says, you can't go into the king unless he has beckoned for you to come in. To do so can result in your death. Now please don't hyper-spiritualize who Esther was. She's a young gal, probably not any older, perhaps, than some of you sitting right here today. She's just a little gal by herself in this palace, probably scared to death. And now Mordecai is asking her to go in and talk to the king, and she knows that it results in death most of the time to do that. Verse 12, they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. She's a Jew. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews arise from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And of course, a lot of messages have been preached out of that last phrase. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai is saying, you don't have a choice. You don't have an option here. There's a huge need. And you're the one that can fill that. Now look what she said back in verse number 11 toward the end. And this is the key that applies to every one of us in this room. There is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called. I've not been asked to come in and address this situation. And folks, the problem today with too many of our folks that are good people that are sitting in the pews and our young people that are deciding what their future has in store for them is right there with what Esther said. See it? I've not been called. I don't have some ministerial call. I've not been called to full-time Christian service. What am I supposed to do? Folks, the bottom line for us as Christians, we've all been called to serve. If you go to Romans 8, being called is in the middle of being justified and glorified and all the other terms are in there. And that term being called applies to every one of us in this room. And it's talking about being called to be a full-time Christian. So here's little Esther. She's not been called, hadn't been beckoned by the king. And Mordecai says, you know what? I really don't care. The need is too great. Whether you've been called or not, get out there and do what you're supposed to do. And young people, that's the reason we're here. You may not know if you've been called to full-time service or not, and frankly, it doesn't matter. There is such a need in our country now for young people that are going to be willing to stand up and make a difference in their community that whether you've been called to full-time ministerial service or not, it doesn't matter. You've been called to be a great Christian that affects your community. Why not take the opportunity to learn how to do a better job of that? Some of you folks that are here in the service this morning, you may be sitting there to think, well, what am I supposed to do? I haven't been called to preach. I haven't been called to teach. Folks, you've been called to be a great Christian. We have needs in bus workers. We have needs in nursery. We have needs in choir. We have needs to go out visiting. We have needs for folks to pick up the phone and call people. Shut-ins. Every person in a local church has a job to do. Every person in a local church has a job to do. Years ago, I ended up messing up my shoulder. I pitched when I was in high school, and it had a torn rotator cuff, and so I was messed up because of that. And then I was doing some skiing, and you know, Brother Woodward's a pretty good-sized guy. Dan Woodward, if you've met him, big guy. and Pastor Woodward. And so we're doing some skiing together, and he's at the bottom of the hill, and I come screaming down this hill. And I'm going to do one of those fancy ski stops, you know, where it throws snow all over them. Well, the problem was my ski caught, and I just went piling into him, just crashed. We rolled down the hill, and it was bad. And my shoulder really hurt. And I didn't think anything about it, but I do a lot of song leading up at our place, and I'd be leading singing. But, man, I couldn't hardly get through a verse, and it's my arm was so tired, I had to go to my other hand. You know, you song leaders around here know what left hand, right hand kind of stuff. And so a year or so went by, and my shoulder was just bothering me, but I had to do what I had to do. So I go to the doctor, and they did an MRI, and they said, "Doesn't that hurt?" Yeah. Says you have a torn rotator cuff, you have separated your shoulder, and the bone on the end of your shoulder is broken off. Basically, your arm's hanging there by the muscle. Not bone, muscle. I went, that explains quite a bit. So I went in, I had surgery, and the Sunday I come out of surgery, which is my right arm, I go to Brother Gomez, I had surgery, and he goes, "I know. Don't you think you ought to have somebody lead singing?" "No, you're the song leader." Compassionate, Brother Gomez. Okay, so I'm up there leading, singing with my left hand. And like I said, if you're a song leader, you know it's different than leading with your right hand. It's a different deal altogether. No compassion. Now, the point I'm making is this. Did the job get done? Yeah. Was it done as well as it would have if my right shoulder was okay? No, it didn't. And folks, the point of the matter is, and it's even addressed here, I don't have time to talk about it. The point of the matter is, God's got a job for everybody in this church to do. We are the body of Christ. He's got a job for every, God never saved anybody to sit. He's got a job for every one of you to do in this room. Now, if you don't do it, it's going to get done. But it won't be done as efficiently. It won't be done as well. And you'll miss out on the blessing of being a part of that. Everybody can do something. Older gal in our church, Marge Fowlfield, crippling arthritis, older gal, can't hardly, gets around with a walker, a little motorized cart. Comes time for programs around our place, she can't do much, but I've seen her out in Walmart parking lots putting tracks in the windshield of cars, riding around on her little scooter. Now, I don't know about here, but up there, they'll be out there so fast your nose will bleed kicking you off of the parking lot doing that. But nobody's going to kick this older woman riding on a cart. Nobody's going to kick her off the parking lot. And she puts around and does. Why? Because she just wants to do what she can do. And see, that's all Mordecai was asking. He says, "Look, Esther, you're in a position to help for such a time as this. That's why you're there. We have no alternative. You have to help." And young people, that's the message for you today. Yes, let the Lord worry about calling you later. And I'm not minimizing full-time ministerial call. People have to have that call. Young people have that call in their life. But you know what? We've all been called to serve. And you young people can make a huge step in that. Pay attention to your preacher, your parents, your youth pastor. Get their counsel. Be where you're supposed. Providence isn't the only college in town. I understand that. There's some great colleges out there right now. But you need to be where God wants you to be in this next step of your life and let God use you. We know what happened with Esther. She had the courage to go in, talk to the king, and saved a nation. A little teenage gal saved a nation because she was willing to do what she'd been called to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of just being here and having the opportunity to share a little bit with these folks. Lord, what a blessing. And Father, I just pray now that you'll bless the remainder of the service. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.